Time to check in with one of her favorite guests on the program. He's got a great new piece in Rolling Stone on North Dallas 40, but he's the author of a couple of wonderful books as well on baseball, Stars and Strikes, and of course, Big Hair and Plastic Grass. Dan Epstein with us. Dan, how are you, my friend?
I'm great, Rich. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How is it since your relocation to the South?
Well, sitting here in Greensboro, North Carolina, and it is 72 degrees at dusk, so oh, yeah. I am not complaining. I miss many things about Chicago, but the weather is not one of them.
That sounds pretty good to me, absolutely. Well, a wonderful story that you have in the latest Rolling Stone online about North Dallas 40, which, frankly, I had forgotten how good it was. And I look back on it now, and as you say, it's almost, well, I know you love the movie. Is it on a par with Bad News Bears when it comes to capturing the sport?
I think it is. I think it's right up with Bad News Bears and Slapshot. Not only as great sports films of the 70s, but it really does justice to the sport of football, especially in that era, in the same way that Slapshot does to professional hockey. And Bad News Bears, obviously not professional baseball, but I think it tells us more about baseball than any film about the major leagues has ever done.
And it really captures, as you point out, a moment in time before NFL free agency.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting to see how the players live their lives off the field. They're definitely not living in mansions, definitely not driving really nice cars or shrouding themselves in jewelry, because same with baseball before free agency kicked in. A lot of guys had to work in the off season to make ends meet. The salaries were, artificially depressed by the fact that players had no say in who they were playing for or, if they could sell their services to another team. And on top of that, they had really no recourse if their team wanted to bench them, if the team wanted to trade them to the Canadian Football League, as Nick Nolte's character is constantly threatened with North Dallas 40. It was a different era in the game for sure.
And the movie, based on a tremendous book by Peter Gandon, as you point out, it was in many ways had the same effect on the NFL as Ball 4 did on Major League Baseball.
Absolutely. I mean, the NFL always tried to kind of portray itself as this noble league of gladiators, and Gant's book really kind of ripped the curtain off that and showed how players were exploited by their teams, how many of them had to play with injuries that would potentially ruin their careers just because they didn't want to get cut, didn't want to get benched, or were pressured into taking painkillers in order to perform. And also talked a lot about the players' lives off the field and the less than seemly situations that they would wind up in. And of course, this was nothing that the NFL wanted out there.
A tremendous cast as well. I mean, Nick Nolte's great in this. John Matuszak, who knew? And then Mac Davis as the quarterback, Seth Maxwell, with a pretty strong homage to Dandy Don Meredith.
Yeah, I've also heard people say that they thought that his role was based partly on Kenny Stabler, which I get, especially because Fred Biletnikoff, who was Stabler's favorite receiver, was on the set as Nolte's kind of wide receiver coach, showing him how to catch and move and all of that. But both Nolte and Davis, not only are their performances great individually, but the chemistry between them is so fantastic. It's exactly like you would imagine a quarterback and his favorite receiver would interact both on and off the field. It's really a shame that they didn't make another movie together or didn't have a buddy cop show or something like that, because they really could have they could have run with that.
I'm surprised, too, looking back on it, that he's so good, so natural in it. And Mac Davis didn't do all that much more acting through the years.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of, you know, I mean, he had a recording career simultaneously, so I think he would just kind of, my impression was that he was just kind of a guy who went and, you know, wherever the fish were biting. And but yeah, I think this definitely has to rank with among his best, if not absolute best, film role.
We're talking with Dan Epstein in Rolling Stone, talking about North Dallas 40. And you mentioned the scene that it really is interesting because of their different take. It might have been portrayed a lot of different ways in other sports films, certainly other football movies. And that's the scene in the locker room before the championship game for the Bulls.
Yeah, it really, I mean, you know, you talk about like forgetting how great the film is. This was something I had not remembered at all. It had been about 10 years since I'd last seen it before I wrote the piece, and you know, I remember the carousing and the jokes and all of that, but I did not remember the locker room scene, which is really it's very kind of moving and powerful. You see all these players just kind of doing whatever they have to do to get psyched up for the game, and in some cases, like, you know, with John Matuszak and Bo Svensson, they're you know, doing a kind of call and response thing to get themselves psyched up. But then see other players who, like, I mean, it's almost like the scenes we see in war movies as, you know, like the soldiers are about to land at D-Day or whatever. Like, there's a lot of fear there. There's a lot of worry, like, am I going to be able to hold up my end of this? Am I going to, you know, am I going to let my teammates down? Am I going to be able to perform like I want to perform? And it's all done without any music at all on in the background. There's no kind of blood pumping, anthemic, you know, we will rock you type of soundtrack going. It's just, you're just kind of hearing the murmurs and grunts in the locker room. And it's quite arresting. It's quite, I was about to say it's quite unforgettable, although clearly I had forgotten about it, but yeah, it seems just so much more natural than any scene like that I've seen in any other football movie.
Would you say the movie, being 40 years old now, holds up better than most sports movies made in that time period?
Oh, absolutely. Although, I mean, obviously I'm biased towards sports films of the 70s, but I do think it holds up, you know, better than just about any football film made around then, or, you know, in several decades after. I think, you know, and I think there's a resonance there too. And, you know, so much of it is based around the injuries that Nick Nolte is dealing with, and, you know, how much pain he's in every day, and the drugs he has to take just to get through the day and to get through the game. And, you know, this is a theme that we are still, talking about today with players, and especially with all the revelations about the, you know, traumatic head injuries and the way, the lengths that the NFL has gone to try to cover that up and not take responsibility for the, you know, for the injuries that you know, continue to dog the players well after they've stopped playing. So I think, you know, you watch this through the lens of today, and also with the, you know, issues about how the NFL has dealt with players protesting, players like Colin Kaepernick. How they've you know, taking a knee on the field, and, you know, and you see that the NFL has not really evolved too much in the last 40 years. I mean, the teams and the league, circa 1979 would not have taken a much different attitude towards their players than the league and the teams do now. And, you know, it's a very sad thing, and it's a very sobering thing to watch this film from 40 years ago and realize, you know, we haven't come very far.
You make a great point. Why do you think it is that league in particular has been so slow to evolve on so many issues?
Well, you know, I think some of it comes down to the ownership, which, I mean, like in any sport, it's a bunch of rich old white guys who are kind of setting their ways about things. But yeah, I mean, I think certainly the NBA, we've seen a much more enlightened approach towards players speaking their minds about things. And I also just think that, you know, maybe football is, it's, you know, out of all the sports, it is much more rooted in kind of a conservative mindset. And, you know, I think there's so much about, you know, you would go back to the college game and the way that coaches like Bear Bryant and Bo Schembechler just, you know, and Woody Hayes, it was all about like, you know, shut up and do your job and get out there and, you know, be one of the, you know, the 11 guys on field and the 40 guys in the locker room and, you know, don't make waves. So I think perhaps just the culture in general is calcified in a way that it hasn't always been with other sports.
Moving away from North Dallas 40 for a moment, we lost a great one today with the passing of Frank Robinson at the age of 83. And I feel like maybe the new generation doesn't know or appreciate Frank Robinson the way they should for everything he did for the game on the field, one of the great talents of all time. And then what he did as a pioneering African-American manager, his work with the commissioner's office and every aspect of the game.
I mean, it's really stunning the career he had. I went back and looked at his bio today and you know, was reminded of all sorts of things I'd forgotten. I mean, this guy's a Hall of Famer, but it was so much more than that. He remains the only player to have ever won an MVP award in both the American and National Leagues. He was a Triple Crown winner in 1966. He was the World Series MVP that year. He was a perennial All-Star and finished with 586 home runs, which at the time, there were very few players who'd racked up over 500. But then in his, post-playing days, well, not even post-playing, I mean, he was, when he became the player the manager of the Cleveland Indians in 1975, he was also still playing.
Right.
He was the first African-American MLB manager. And in his first game as manager for the Indians, he hits a home run. So this is a guy who had a flair for the big moment, but also just like a tough as nails player and competitor guy, it was not unusual for him to like crack ribs in a game and then be back in the lineup the next day. And really just, a player that other players just look to, as a leader and as a competitor. And then he managed a bunch of teams. He worked for the commissioner's office. He just was always part of the game from the day he first set foot in the majors. And I was a little too young to appreciate him in his prime. He was still playing with the Indians as player manager when I became a fan. But but even then I understood that this was one of the greats. And I hope people who aren't so familiar with his career or his accomplishments will go back and do a little research about him. And I know they will come away impressed.
Teams report for spring training pretty soon. Are you still done with baseball, Dan?
I am. I really, it pains me to say it. I feel almost like, like a good friend of mine has died, but I feel like after the commissioner's office donated to Cindy Hyde-Smith's campaign for senator in Mississippi, a candidate who was not shy about the racist dog whistles. And then here's the sport that, places so much emphasis on the contributions that Jackie Robinson made, to go and back a racist candidate at the behest of Mitch McConnell. I understand when team owners do things like this, like the Ricketts family supporting Donald Trump. But I always in the past, I've been able to put that aside and say, like, well, that's team owners who are historically, not great people. But when the sport itself gets behind racist politicians, I just feel like I can't put money into this anymore. Luckily, I'm living in a city where there are lots of minor league teams. There's a couple of college baseball programs. So I'm going to get my baseball fix in 2019 by going to college and minor league games. But I unsubscribed from MLB TV. I stopped following MLB social media accounts. I'm just done.
I respect you for that. I'm not strong enough yet, but I'm getting closer every day with Major League Baseball and with the NFL as well. That's why we can't have nice things, right, Dan?
Exactly. You know, and that's the thing. Like people say, like, oh, you're letting politics ruin your enjoyment of baseball. It's like, no, the baseball is still a fantastic sport, and I'm still in love with it. I'm in love with the history, and you know, I've got a DVD box set of the 1979 World Series that I've been itching to pull out again and look at. And you know, I'll love baseball forever, but I just cannot support the current product they're increasingly demonstrating that it's all about the money and not about the game or the fans. And you know, and that just I suppose I shouldn't be surprised, but I am disgusted.
Dan Epstein. Hey, Dan, it is always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for being with us this afternoon, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again before too long.
Oh, great. Always great to talk to you, Rich.
Dan Epstein. Check out his piece, Rolling Stone, about North Dallas 40 years later.